Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you on Monday, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, is stuck in Chicago. Wave at Mother Nature. You did after the Akron suspension. They are keeping you from Danny Burke's torrid stories of ripping up Rush Street in Chicago. We do have Willie Bleeping Jay. He's the man. He's the myth. He is in. You know him from Gregeth and Hook's fame. He has sat in for us a few times. And he is a battler, man. He is fighting a sore throat. He doesn't believe in NyQuil. Just a syringe of whatever he found in the cupboard. But we are lucky to have Willie Jay in. We are lucky to have you in. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving and holiday. I don't know about you, but it was one of those weekends that drug on. How many times can you say that? The weekend took too long. It's the beginning of a Seinfeld joke. I can't go any further because I'm not, hello, Jerry. I'm not that guy. But, man, it was a good, relaxing, chill session. Friday was, it's another kick you know where with Iowa. But it was a different result this Black Friday than past Black Fridays. It was still a loss. It was still a fourth straight loss. But it was within reach. We can talk about it. Open phones most of this first hour. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. At Schmidt underscore radio is where you follow me on Twitter. At Hail Varsity is where you can follow on Twitter. Don't forget store.hailvarsity.com. More Black Friday specials extended through today. Buy one, get one with Hail Varsity. That is incredible. Get on it right now. Jay Moore is 15 minutes away. We'll get his take on things. We'll get you ready for Nebraska-Clemson. We'll spend some time on that this hour. Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride, 1 hour from now, is Coach McBride Mondays with Charlie. He'll join us as we'll look to the future and a little bit of rear view peering with this Nebraska defense. And then our basketball insider, Jacob Padilla, is going to get us ready for Nebraska-Clemson basketball. So Jacob will be with us at 525. Can email chris@hailvarsity.com. Okay, we're going to hand out some grades. One big grade. It's the poll question. Can log on hailvarsity.com. What grade would you give the Nebraska football season? And you can be a mean grader. You can be Dean Wormer. You can be my 10th grade geometry teacher at Lincoln Southeast, Mr. Smith. He had pity on me. I'd be in summer school still trying to pass geometry. And C is good enough for me is the saying. Well, D was get the hell out of my office, son. Just I don't want to see you. All the extra help didn't pay off. You are dense. You couldn't compute. That was my fault. But what grade do you give the Nebraska football team this season? And let's get into success. Right? Are we going to get touchy-feeling with success? Was this year a success? Well, yes, it's a success because you have Scott Frost as your head coach. Okay? 4-8, no. But a 4-8 this way versus a 4-8 last year, or a 5-7, or even a 9-4. Listen, as a Nebraska fan, I think you're good with how the team is playing as far as the grit and the effort. And here's what's really had to happen with Nebraska football. All the taken for granteds are not taken for granted anymore. Taken for granted what? Going to have a great quarterback. Well, not always. Taken for granted. Your O-line's going to maul people, and it's going to mop up NFL Hall of Famers in bowl games on the defensive line. No, can't take that for granted anymore. Your defense is going to have three lines like they're a hockey team of NFL riches. Nope. Your secondary is going to have first, second, and third round picks. Guys that spend a decade in the league. Or you're going to have pass rushers that win Super Bowls. Taken for granted, gone. What has happened and has had to happen is that there's nothing to take for granted anymore with Nebraska football. You're 4-8 for consecutive seasons. You're home for the holidays for consecutive seasons. Let that sink in. But there's kind of a build that's going on in the home construction analogy is very popular, so let's roll with it. Your concrete's poured and it is dry. That's what you got out of this season. And you are not taking for granted anymore. It's Iowa. We'll win. What you can take for granted now, dare I go into this part of the pool, is that Nebraska football will be in big games. 1-4 in one score games this year. Forgive me, I'm not counting Troy as a big game. I know they lost. It's not a big game till you lose it. I am going to make the step that says Nebraska will be better than 1-4, call me crazy, in big games next year. Part of that's schedule, part of that's maturity, part of that's learning how to, here's what we did wrong against Northwestern. Here's what we did wrong against Colorado. Here's what we did wrong against Troy. Here's what we did wrong against Ohio State. Here's what we did wrong against Iowa. Here's what we did. They did everything wrong against Michigan. That was your oh bleep moment. Purdue, 2-score game. Wisconsin, 2-score game. But there were moments there to get back into it that you didn't. What needs to happen with Nebraska football is to build on the successes they had and then that emptiness they feel right now that it's 270-some days till kickoff. Yes, I started counting. All right? Where this team's going to be in short order with the returners, you're going to have a championship quarterback. He's that good. You got a playmaker in Spielman, yes. What do you get out of returners on the defensive line at linebacker and in the secondary? Where's your defense go? We'll talk with Jay Moore about that. But from a Nebraska standpoint, I'm going C for the grade. Because 0-6, no matter how you can chalk a lot of it up to immaturity and growing pains, is still 0-6. It is still Troy. It is still 56-10. But think about where you start, and maybe you've done this. Some of us have. Not to go through all of my academic history, but from high school to college, I didn't learn. And you've got to really work your ass off to pull a C out of an F. And Nebraska did that, finishing 4-2. The ugly truth, and you saw it through four quarters against Wisconsin and against Iowa. The two teams you got to knock down was you were absolutely abused and used on the line of scrimmage. So you can get bigger, stronger, and faster on the lines of scrimmage, but you just need to be as good or better there physically and mentally, but you're Nebraska. Again, the taken for granted part. Get some dudes. I don't know if I can look you in the eye and say they have those dudes or not. There's some guys we can talk about this hour, and we'll talk with Coach McBride about in about an hour, less than an hour. Guys on the roster that can make a jump. That'll be a popular topic of discussion this week, and we'll get into it. Guys that are on that roster that can make a jump, that are already here, they're on the recruiting trail, and they're going to do well. They're going to identify and develop. But you've got what you've got right now, and can you get those guys better? And Coach Frost and Coach Duvall will do that. So we're talking grades. Was this a successful year? It was, because all of the taken for granteds finally got erased. And 4-8 feels, it sucks in a sense, because football season's over for a while. But man, the fact that Nebraska was in every big game except Michigan, you used to expect that. And then it went away for a while, and it slowly kind of deteriorated. You had atrophy going on here. You had this big, strong, muscular football program that was built up and could bench as much as the next guy in weight class. Then all of a sudden, you just quit lifting and good night. But Nebraska, that Iowa game was tough to watch, tough to take because of the keep away that was going on with 5 to 7 minute drives by Captain Kirk. Nebraska unable to stop a stretch play. And you just don't like it as a Nebraska fan when teams out-muscle you. And teams have been out-muscling Nebraska for a while. But they are out-muscling you when you know what's coming. You'd smile about that as a Nebraska fan. 3rd-and-3 option, short side, good night. 1st down or more. Now it's Iowa stretch run, short side, 1st down. And Iowa won despite Iowa coaching. That's the other thing that comes away with Black Friday. The fake field goal could have really screwed Iowa. Nebraska did everything in their power to make sure it did by tying things up. Adrian making a play to Warner for the two-pointer. But how does it finish? Can't get off the field. Can't stop a 4th-and-8. And Iowa's able to get the 1st down, stay on the field, and play power football for 4 quarters. That's the disheartening part. And if you've ever lost a fight, that's how you feel. If you're Nebraska, because you just got pushed around. You just got pushed around by someone bigger and got pushed around by someone stronger. So Nebraska will go to work on that, but there needs to be some steps playmaking-wise defensively. And I couldn't believe what I saw with Ohio State and Michigan. It wasn't going to be crazy that Ohio State won at home, but it's crazy that Ohio State put up over 60, as up and down as they've been. Okay, you know they can score, and you know their defense has been a far cry from what it used to be. But think about what happened with Nebraska, Michigan, and then what happened with Ohio State, Nebraska. I mean, Ohio State survived a lot of late games. Nebraska did not survive a lot of late games. At least they split in November. That's something you can take with you into the offseason. Success for Nebraska football. Does it feel like it to you as a Nebraska fan? I know I'm talking 4-8, and I know it might be reaching or too much accentuating the positives. Maybe you had too much turkey and you're full. You don't want to talk. That's fine. But just the feel. It's very real that they're a team that isn't going to back down. Here's what it is. They're a team that's not scared anymore. Right? They're not a scared football team anymore. And they're a team that actually likes football again. Right? So take both of those, put them under your arm, each arm, and run into 2019. We'll get into some Nebraska and Clemson hoops. Monster game for Timmy Miles and his core four. in South Carolina. Will Wilson, Willie J is a giant Nebraska basketball fan. The only thing not happening right now is his face painted, but it'll happen before tip-off at 6. We are going to be doing this on Hail Varsity and Gregathan Hooks, and it is the Holiday Hail Mary. What is it? Well, this is the sounder you're going to need to listen for. Don't call now. Let's play the sounder here, Willie J.
Hey!
Three-man rush.
What's this, flying around?
All kinds of time.
This is the season to be merry.
Steps into the throw, in the wind.
Nipply out. I mean nippy out.
Down to the goal line!
We're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny Kaye.
Ho, ho, ho. Touchdown!
Okay, that is your Holiday Hail Mary sounder. We'll get that qualification going for you. We as men, many of us, wait till the last minute to get things handled. So ESPN Lincoln wants to make it easy on you. The Holiday Hail Mary, what you're qualifying for is a laptop from Schrock, a $100 gift card to Jet Splash, a $100 gift card to Misty Steakhouse, hell yes, and a coffee basket from Aroma Coffee. That's a winner. We'll do that giveaway December 14th on Gregathan Hooks. Okay, Jay Moore's coming up, Blackshirt Jay with Hail Varsity.
State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red and NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It's Blackshirt Monday. We say hi to Blackshirt NFLer and Husker standout Jay Moore. Jay, how much turkey did you crush?
I ate my fair share. I'll be honest. I didn't eat as much turkey as I usually do. I went pretty hard on the desserts this year. Like, we had this apple pie and pumpkin pie that were killer. And I'm not joking. I think I had about 6 slices of each over Thursday and Friday. So necessarily, I was, needless to say, I was in the gym this morning because I think I put on a few lbs over the weekend. But that's what you're supposed to do.
I know I did. I mean, and hell, I almost did an hour of swimming yesterday and about killed myself. How much wild turkey did you get into on Friday once it got to 28-13?
Yeah, I wanted to, but mom was working, so I had a man-to-man coverage on my son on Friday, so it was very tempting to. You know, that's one thing that was obviously different with this team compared to years past was you had that tipping point where it felt like, and I know you and I have discussed this before, you have those moments where the games can really get out of hand. I mean, it felt like it was really, really close, and all of a sudden they do the fake field goal, they don't execute, we get points off of it, and all of a sudden it's a ball game again. The fact that we were in that ball game at the end, that chance to tie it up, which we obviously did, was Iowa gifted us 6 points in that ball game. So I tell you what, I'll take it. But that's a nice change from years past, where when it can get out of hand, it does. But in the second half of the year, this team kind of finds a way to fight back, and obviously that's something to build on for next year.
You know, and that's kind of a restored feeling I think Nebraska fans have. The excitement that's real, that this team's going to fight for 4 quarters. That's something I grew up watching and you grew up participating in, that's kind of a baseline, that's a given, but that wasn't always the case, but it's a reality now. And bigger, stronger, faster on the lines of scrimmage is a necessity, and that was highlighted by Coach Frost after the game. I know Coach Austin spoke a little bit about it, indicators when he caught up with Sip, and I wanted to kind of get your take on the lines of scrimmage before we go bigger picture with 2019 and react to 2018. How far away do you think this team is with what's on paper, Jay, just to be able to put back-to-back games together that are bar fights? You won against Sparty in the snow. Iowa just slammed you around, but you didn't quit swinging, so that's good. But the point is you are getting pushed around, And what's a realistic timeline for that to get better?
Well, I think that will get better. The gains will be made, you know, this off season and over the winter and over spring with Zach Duvall, and I know guys will be in there lifting probably as soon as this week and next week, and obviously they'll get some good work in before finals hit here and before they go home for Christmas break. But I think those gains can be made right away up front. It'll be interesting to see the shuffling around at O-line. You know, I don't think Farniok is an offensive tackle. I think he'll definitely be an offensive guard. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Hymus. Are they going to keep him at left tackle? Because he's really performed pretty well for most of the year. If you want to keep him there, who they bring in with on the O-line with the JUCOs and who can, you know, put him in there right away. You know, defensive lines I look at, you know, you lose Freedom, you lose Mick. You listen to those guys, but you get the Davis twins back. Who's going to step up? You know, the other guys in those scenarios. Obviously, you have Damian Daniels, who's contributed quite a bit. You have a guy, his name's drawn a blank.
Stilly.
I mean, he was 97. Stilly. For some reason, I always forget about him in the D-line because I'm so used to him being an outside linebacker.
Sure.
Last year. But DeAndre Thomas. You know, he's a guy that he's in a red shirt. He's a guy that played significantly and has that pop to him that I like to see on his film before that will be thrown in there next year. You know, those guys. But I think, you know, defensively, they got to be more physical at the point of attack. You know, if Wisconsin's O-line is 1A, I always put Iowa's as 1B. I mean, Kirk Ferentz is a great head coach. He's also a phenomenal O-line coach. He gets those guys playing so well. You know, game in, game out, and they played well up front. Iowa's O-line did, and our guys at times were on roller skates, much like I saw against Wisconsin. We kind of got it figured out. We hunkered down, and we kind of got some things under control later in the game. But you know, we lost the physicality point battle again, as we had in years past. You know, again, Iowa was the hammer, and we were the nail. But you know, you got guys like the Stillies and the Davises and those guys got to step it up. They got to become more physical. They will. They'll get stronger. They'll get stronger and in the weight room that will help. But they got to be able to rush the passer as well. You can't rely on, you know, calling pressures so much where you're in zero coverage. You're calling zero blitzes. That's hard. That's hard in your secondary. You got to be able to, you know, rush four naturally. Maybe bring one more guy potentially on a. You know, especially if his back stays in on a pressure rush, if his back stays in to block, you know, you bring a linebacker in that situation. We got to get an outside linebacker too. That's going to play physical and who can drop into coverage as well, but also can flat get after the quarterback. We don't have one of those guys yet, but overall, I think they can make that jump pretty soon here. Now, will that necessarily equate to, you know, winning the West and going to Indianapolis next year? I don't know. I still think this team is. In my opinion, is 2 years away from making that step. You know, maybe you're talking about 2020, Adrian's a junior. I think that's the step you make to when you're playing for a Big Ten championship. But first and foremost, we got to get better up front on both sides of the line. I've said this many, many times. You and I have talked about it. You can have all the five-star wide receivers and running backs, and you can have all, you know, great DBs. But man, if you're not physical at the point of attack with your 5-0 linemen, your 3, you know, 4-D linemen, you're going to struggle in this league. This Big Ten is solid from top to bottom. You know, our top, you know, teams are really good. And our bottom end teams, you know, they're really, you know, they're not terrible. They're not. You know, just from top to bottom, it's every game, every year is tough. No matter if you're playing Rutgers, I mean, look at the change Minnesota's made towards the end of the year. I mean, Rutgers should have beaten Michigan State at Michigan State. You know, you look at a team like Purdue. You know, everyone can win, honestly, any given Saturday in the Big Ten. So you got to win first and foremost up front. But it'll be nice to see the changes that Zach Duvall and his staff. Gets within these boys this winter and see those jumps, you know, in the spring and already next fall.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Black Shirt Monday at Jay Moore 44. It's where you follow him on Twitter. You'll see him Tuesday night on Big Red Wrap-Up, recap of the season. Jay Bird, give me a letter grade for Nebraska. We started off the show talking about it. It's a HailVarsity.com poll question. I have my vote, and I would give it a C. And that was a major couple of papers, midterm and final, that Nebraska did really well on to get that C based on the start. So you tell me what's the number for you, or what's the letter grade per se?
You know, I'd probably be... I tell you what, maybe C plus, maybe I could talk you into get into B minus with some extra credit work in there. You know,
sure.
You know, obviously the year started off so rocky, but how this team finished, and I view this, you know, the jump that this team made offensively, and obviously with Adrian's a really good player, then you got a guy like Divine Ozigbo and Stanley Morgan and J.D. Spillman. I mean, let's be honest, most of the talent on this team was on the offensive roster. Now you lose a couple of those guys, but you get a lot of your main guys back. You know, I just look at defense and special teams. I mean, special teams really struggled. I mean, special teams cost you maybe 3 ball games. You know, it kept you in some ball games this year, but also maybe cost you 2 to 3 ball games. You could look at defensively. You know, they made some strides, but again, the defense they just. I don't mean to sound like I don't want to say we're super unathletic. We don't have those. We're not a very fast defense. We can't, we have to play almost perfect, to make things happen. And sometimes defensively, that's not the case. You just need some dudes that can flat out fly and make plays. And if they do make a mistake, you know what? They can run down and instead of a 5, 6, 7, 8 yard gain, it's a 2 or 3 yard gain. We just don't have those guys yet. You know, I like Mo Berry's coming back. That's obviously a great guy to step up and continue this foundation of the defense next year. But they cost some ball games. Now they won the Michigan State game, but they hurt you a lot sometimes this year. But overall, I'd say a C plus, maybe a B minus. But I'll say it like a. You know, they're about a 78%,
sure,
which is a C plus in my book for 2018.
C plus is fair. There's just some of those games where, you know, the lessons learned in close losses, and I'm talking those one possession games. Nebraska was 1-4. God bless them for getting the one. I mean, that was tough duty. You know, two Saturdays ago at Michigan State. Iowa, valiant effort. You got it to 28 apiece, and man, the 4th and 8 blitz call, and just kind of knowing the sticks. And Nebraska got hit a couple of times on 4th down conversions by Iowa, where Iowa knew where they needed to go, and Nebraska was playing off. Just some of those mental miscues that you don't think you'll see again. Overall, you got to be pretty confident about the direction. The thing I like most, Jay, and we got about a minute left here, is that this team's not okay with how they finished. They're happy they're better, but they're sick of getting pats on the back for almost winning.
That's the way it should be. You know, there's no more victories. I mean, there's a zero in this business. That's you got to be pissed. I mean, you really do. It's got to be eating at you, and it needs to be eating at you for another, you know, 9 months until you do this again. This needs to fuel the fire for 2019. This needs to fuel the fire for the off-season training for winter conditioning. Needs to fuel the fire for spring ball. You can look back at those 4 games that they lost. They easily could have won, and that needs to be in your mind, especially when you're feeling a little sorry for yourself or feeling a little tired, feeling a little sore, and you're in the dog days of spring ball or fall camp. That feeling of being pissed and that achiness or whatever eating in your gut that you have after those games, that needs to be there. That's what's going to get you through, and that's what you got to learn. I mean, that's the biggest thing the team can do is learn from those situations. Learn how to get off the field when you need to. Learn to cause, you know, that one other extra turnover, you know, learn to take care of the football in certain situations, learn to seize opportunities that they just didn't do in those games. That fuel just needs to be there for the rest of the year. It will. They'll be, and trust me, they'll be constantly reminded about it too, as should be, but they'll learn from this, as every football team does, and trust me, now, you know, you look at next year when you get these closer ball games against good teams, don't be too surprised if Nebraska now comes out on the right side of this, and next year they'll be 4-1 instead of 1-4 in one possession football game.
Bird, we'll get caught up again soon. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yep, you got it, Smitty.
Chime in 402. 866-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Jay Moore. Great to be back with you. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Willie J in today. 20 minutes away from Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. A reminder about your friends at Madonna Therapy Plus. Madonna Physicians and Therapy Plus can get you back in the game with the state-of-the-art therapy pool and AquaTrack. And one of the many options available for therapy at Madonna Therapy Plus Proactive. It's also the only indoor enclosed AquaTrack. Plus, it's heated to 95 degrees. Going to feel great this cold winter. An AquaTrack circle's got water moving. That current's 4 miles per hour. That'll improve strength, balance, and endurance. Find out more at Madonna.org when you want to return to work or sports activities. And the folks that can help you get back there after injury is Madonna Therapy Plus. Find out more at Madonna.org and give them a shout today, 402-420-0000. That's Madonna Proactive. Let's dive into Nebraska basketball, the ACC Big Ten Challenge. And here's what I don't know. Are you going to get Clemson to drop two in a row? They're back from the Caymans. The little Blue Jays bombed away from three and did them in, 87-82. Nebraska had a get well, take your frustration out against Western Illinois this weekend. Now, Nebraska shot well. James Palmer, at least, kind of quit launching threes. But this is fact. Nebraska is 9 for 43 from three-point land in their last two games. Clemson's big. They're long. They're physical. They're talented. They're very, very good defensively. We'll get through some of their roster in a minute. Jacob Padilla, basketball insider with HailVarsity.com. We'll get his preview coming up at 525. What you need from Nebraska is this. You need quality wins, right? And right now, it's early. There was panic. There was freak out with what happened to Tech. Okay, you started great against Tech, and you had no response once both of your eyes got shut from forearm shivers and closed fists by Tech. Okay, Nebraska didn't respond, and they kept launching threes. I'm anxious to figure out who's going to step forward as a leader for this basketball team. It's got to be Glenn. Is Glenn going to lead? Is Glenn going to say, James, my man, your big game James? That title was saved for James Worthy. We have now taken that title and laid it upon you, all Big Ten performer. Drive or facilitate. That's what we haven't seen James Palmer do. We've seen him go for 18. We've seen him get to the rim. We've seen him get hot from three-point land. We've seen him hit big shots from three. But where this team can turn the corner is if James is still that scary dude that has the ball in his hand, that can shake anybody and get to the rim. But if James can drive and dish to find Glenn, to get Roby, God forbid, 13-10, to find Cope, there you go. There's your answer. Easier said than done, because it's like James Palmer has seven guys guarding him all the time, and they're going to dirty their way in Bill Laimbeer style and draw a greasy charge call that may or may not be a charge. That's what he's fighting against. He also wants to go to the NBA. And to do that, he needs to hit from three. So you might as well keep chucking them up, right? And if there is not a leader, a true follow-me-to-freedom Charlie Steiner dude on this team, then your head coach needs to be that leader. That's scary, because he's still asking out loud, what's the identity of this team? Man, you've had these kids forever. Some of them are transfers, but they've been in your program now 3 years. You know what needs to be run on offense. And I like your San Antonio theory of three passes, take open threes, but don't take them too early in the shot clock, which I get. Either take them and make them, or don't take them. So this is huge for Nebraska, because you're down the Tech quality win option already. And we'll see how Tech finishes. That could be an okay toe stubbing. 18 looks bad, especially when you were up by 9. But this is going to make your season. You can make it back, okay? You can get it back, because you got Sparty, and you're going to have Purdue twice, and you'll get Minnesota. You'll have Maryland. You'll have chances. But if you don't get them now, this team's experienced. How's their confidence going to be, despite their experience, despite 13-5 a year ago? People are ready for them, and they want some payback. So let's talk. The next five, Clemson tonight, Illini Sunday at Gopherville, the 5th, Creighton the 8th, Okie State and Sioux Falls the 16th. And then is it Santa Clara? Who the hell is it? It's some great baseball school from
I think it's Fullerton, isn't it?
Yeah, Cal State. Yeah, thank you, Willie J. Cal State Fullerton's a tournament team from last year. So it's going to look good, whether or not they return many. I don't know. I haven't scouted Cal State Fullerton yet. But you got to listen, man, you got to go win this tonight. That's so obvious and easy, but it's true. Mm-hmm. You're a senior focused, dominant group of guys that have won a bunch of tough ball games together. Are you going to play into Clemson's hands? Because they're going to tell you to shoot the three all night long. Either get hot and make them, which would be an outlier to this point, or figure out a way to get big game James to the rim, but more importantly, for him to get his guys involved. And I love the San Antonio three pass, don't stick the ball, let's get Roby going. All these are great in theory, but you shouldn't be talking about them at this point. Use the Tech beating as a lesson to be better. And here's what this team is. Their identity is defense, okay? That's one thing that they're going to play and they're going to do. That is a priority of theirs. On offense, they want to score points. I don't know that there's a set way to do it. So defense gets it going for them. Defense, outlet, transition, athleticism, dunk. Let those dudes fill the lanes and get up and down the court because they're thoroughbreds and they're phenomenal. I mean, your best bet in half court is to down screen for Cope so he can catch at the free throw line and hit the jumper. That is it. That's what I've seen from your half court offense. Or, God forbid, there is ball movement. Roby catches and shot fakes and posterizes someone and his family. Or you kick out and Glenn for three. Nana's got some mobility. Thomas Allen's a good three-point shooter, and they took smart shots against Tech. And they passed up the three for a dribble, step-up jumper. It's okay. We'll see. We'll have more time to talk Nebraska basketball, but find a way to win in Clemson, period. End of discussion. It's got to happen tonight. Hail Varsity continues. We'll wind out Hour 1, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Okay, inviting you to log on ESPNLincoln.com, find out the contest rules, but I tell you what, your chance to get amplified this year with ESPN, and it is fantastic. What you do is you've got $2,500 cash for you. All you got to do is get amplified with ESPN Lincoln for your holiday season. Download the ESPN Lincoln radio app on iTunes or Google Play and enter daily through the 7th of December, and your chance to win $2,500. How'd that happen? Well, it's in your stocking all from just sign it up with the ESPN Lincoln app. Can tap, can win, and stay connected with all your Husker and national news with ESPN Lincoln and Google Play or iTunes. Also, reminder, Black Friday is going on, and can log on now with extended Black Friday specials with Hail Varsity, store.hailvarsity.com. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Coach McBride is coming up. We'll talk to Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride Mondays with Charlie in 10 minutes. We'll hear from Jacob Padilla, get his take on Nebraska Clemson. A no BS approach is Jacob's thing with Nebraska basketball. He's all over it. We'll also have an electrifying play of the game for you. So that's all good. Willie J, where are you at here, man? You lean in Nebraska tonight? We'll finalize here in an hour. But we both, I think, agree on the importance of tonight. It's not that you can't drop tonight. You can't get blown out tonight. I mean, you still, Illinois is okay. They played Gonzaga well. Minnesota's off to a good start. Creighton just beat Clemson, and Creighton's going to have Gonzaga in their pad this weekend, I think. And then Oklahoma State's a Big 12 squad that is a neutral site showdown. So, look, there's chances to make up. You can lose two games in quality win category, but you can't get drilled twice.
Yeah, I agree. And you made a great point earlier. Is Clemson going to be pissed off that they lost last week? Like, they're not going to want to go for two in a row.
No, not at home.
And here's the thing that I'm wondering is, does Nebraska have that in them? Are they pissed off? They don't want to go, or I guess they won on Saturday. But you don't want to lose two big games in a row. Yeah, either, man. I don't know. It's tough. Clemson's good. I don't know yet. Come back to me in an hour.
You're just like, do you need Halls? Are you okay? There's some stuff in McKay's bottom drawer.
I mean,
it's liquor.
There's some cough drops in this thing, but I don't know how long they've been there. And,
those might be mine circa 07. Not going to lie. We will have a chance at the Holiday Hail Mary coming up next hour. Your chance to qualify for a laptop, a $100 gift card to Jet Splash, a $100 gift card to Misty's, and a coffee basket from Aroma Coffee. So, got to listen for the sounder for that. It's a mixture of Bluto, Clark Griswold, and the Santa from A Christmas Story. It's pretty good work. Okay, we'll get into Nebraska football. The defense, it needs to get better. Will it get better? What'd Coach McBride think of the Iowa game? And how happy is he with this 4-8 season? Jacob Padilla, next hour, Nebraska basketball. As they're getting ready for Clemson, hour two on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to be back. It's hour two. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt. Denny Burke is trying to get back from Chicago, the pride of Chicago this week. And most of the time, if you ask him, is Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. Coach, how was Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was great. It was nice, beautiful weather. At least it didn't snow till we got back here to our house. We were down at Jared Tomich's farm and had a great time.
So, you had turkey, you had some stuffing, you had a little, I'm going to say, are you a pecan or a pumpkin pie guy?
I'm a pumpkin pie guy.
Okay.
That's too rich for me, that pecan pie.
That's all right. That's all right. I'll eat it for you. So, well, that's awesome, man. That sounds so cool that you're spending time with one of your favorites, one of your former black shirts on Thanksgiving. That's really cool. Did you guys watch the Iowa game together?
We did.
How did that go?
Well, Jared and I almost said the same thing at the end. We just didn't have a guy on defense that could make a play.
Yeah.
You know, and it just, I think that's kind of been the case a little bit. You know, for some reason, you know, it didn't seem like they were going after the ball a couple of times. You know, when you start that pushing stuff, boy, you get your hands in there, and that's when you can tear that baby out of there. And so, you know, I just had hoped that, you know, they'd somebody, some way we'd have made a play going down the field there, and they kicked that field goal, and that was the end of it. And but, you know, I thought, I saw it again today a little bit. I watched it on it was on the Big Ten Network,
mm-hmm.
and I had a chance to watch that, just the last series, you know, and, you know, when we went down and scored, and that was a pretty good accomplishment. I mean, that was a heck of a catch in the end zone and heck of a throw, and, you know, to do that, but then you got to top it off, you know, and, you know, so that's just the way I look at it. I think, you know, there's a lot of things they can do to improve that team and, you know, over the year and, you know, try to figure a way they can get some better pressure from the edges rather than, you know, having to rush tight. And sometimes you just have to give those guys inside a little bit of a, you know, they're going to throw it. Just get to the quarterback. Your mm-hmm. gap is out of business, you know. So, you know, that's kind of the way you kind of have to do it, I think, in some cases. You know, when you're down, you got to take some chances and, you know, just let them line up, put their rear ends up in the air, and let her fly.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, the season started off rough. It was 0-6. Nebraska finished 4-2. Nebraska almost beat Ohio State, almost got Northwestern, almost got Iowa. Did get Michigan State to keep you from having to wear that green sweatshirt. It's a far cry from what happened in Ann Arbor with you in the stands. 4-8 is the same record this year as last year. Do you feel different about that number 4 and that number 8?
Yeah, I feel. The thing, you know, you hate to, you know, you don't like to lose, but you enjoy seeing the making of a team where you can see during the year the improvement all the way through. They're going to figure it out for themselves. They're going to see that they didn't make plays when we could have, and they didn't. Things that have to happen. I mean, you got to really make something happen. You have to be the kind of guy that's, I'm going to make something happen. I'm going to get to the quarterback. I'm make him throw bad. I'm going to do all these things, you know, that you can do because, you know, I think a lot of people are maybe criticize their secondary a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't look at it that way. I criticize our front.
Okay.
You know, they got to help out. You know, if you're just going to let the guy stand back there and throw the ball, which they got some pressure on it, but as time went on, but somehow it wasn't what we needed. And, you know, I think that the first pressure you can get is off the edge. And I mean, they can get there now. And sometimes we're dropping guys and rushing three and doing some things like that, and you aren't going to. You know, it's just a matter of time. If you're playing zone or man or whatever the case is, it doesn't make any difference that they're going to have – somebody's going to get open. And so you usually, you know, if it's a pass like that where there's no pressure, then it's the responsibility of the defensive front, not the secondary, because they'll get beat if you give them long enough time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so – that's one thing I think that they're going to have to hopefully adjust is find a way to where they can get some people, you know, coming off the edge and not using necessarily a safety or that. I mean, I'm talking about four men or whatever the case is, but they got to get some guys coming hayaka from the outside.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach Frost mentioned after the game that, and he's mentioned it before this season, that Nebraska just doesn't look like Michigan or Wisconsin or Iowa on the lines of scrimmage. And Nebraska got pushed around with that stretch play. Nebraska got pushed around on the ground. And I know that makes you probably lose it a little bit. You're supportive and you love this team and program, but running the football is the first thing you emphasize stopping. Do you think Nebraska has guys on the roster that are going to be able to get bigger and stronger? I know that that's an emphasis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's that. There's no question about that. I mean, I'm not. That's one thing. You know, I think those kids will work their tails off, and that's the way, you know, you get there. I mean, you just have to do it, and you have to do every time, you know, you go in and work out. You just got to say to yourself, I'm going to work harder than the next guy, you know, than the guys at Iowa or the guys at Ohio State or Michigan or whatever you want to do. You know, do it in your own mind, but, you know, set some goals and go do it. I think a lot of times there's guys that have a sinking spell before they work out, and they just, I don't know if I want to go today. I've had that feeling when I was playing, and I went, and it usually ended up being the best workout I had. I mean, you know, you just all of a sudden you click, and it's going good, and you know, at first you didn't want to go. Maybe trying to find a sneaky way to get out of this. But I just think that they'll improve. I think they have some kids up front. I will say this, that there are some inside guys that run better than, you know, than a lot of the other teams. I mean, they're inside people. The Twins, I mean, I think they got pretty good speed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't know about time, so I can't. But I, right. You know, they're the ones that seem to show up when you're chasing guys down and, you know, and things like that. And that's important. I think they don't do a good job of separation.
Okay.
And that's one of the problems on the stretch play, because those guys are holding you. I mean, they're every play. I mean, they got their hands inside and they got to hold your jersey. So you got to know how to escape that stuff, and you have to work on it and work on it, but you can't do it unless you're separated. And, you know, there's a couple of guys that are pretty good at it, but the escape stuff you have to really work on and how you do it. And you do it a lot according to height. You do a lot of it, you know, so on and so forth. You know, you see they got swims and rips and, you know, a lot of that stuff. And so you just have to learn the body position. I mean, anytime you run a swim or a rip or something, when you're going sideways, you got to turn your hips to the guy and take off. And if he hangs on to you, he's going to get called for holding. You know, I mean, they're going to see it. Well, sometimes.
were you wowed at Iowa going for it on that fake field goal?
Well, you know, I think probably what it faked all of us out, kind of. So that's what they planned.
Well, it's like, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah. But you know, you never know. I mean, I'm not kidding you. In games, there's been times when, you know, you're looking at the other sideline and going like, why did they do that, or what the heck is going on? And you know, I think that we're probably not far enough along maybe to really be able to execute our special teams as good as we will be able to do.
Sure.
It. I mean, over the year, you know, that you got to be prepared for, you know, to fake punt, fake extra points, fake all these different things. I remember watching Boise beat Oklahoma down at the Fiesta Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And with that, you know, where the guy just flipped it over his head and, you know, next thing you know, the next year, you see it in high schools. You see it all over the place. Guys doing the same thing. Everybody in college was afraid to do it because somebody had called them a copycat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it has, you know, a lot of times college coaches and pro coaches don't want anybody to think they got it from somebody else. It always has to be, I'm the one that did that. But that's good. That'll get you beat every time. And I know that Tom, if you talk to him, some of the trick plays that we have were all from high school coaches.
Sure.
Stuff. And you know, there's enough. Listen, if you can find a way, you've got to do it. And, you know, it was, you know, it's interesting what goes through guys' minds. But, you know, I just thought even all the way it went through, I think the kids – You know, they tried hard. They pushed it. They just couldn't make a play. And that's the answer. Hmm. I mean, when they're moving the ball down the field, somebody's got to come up with something. You got to do something to stop that stuff, whether it's an interception, whether it's a knockdown pass, whether whatever it is, a big play. And we couldn't get it done.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Well, the guys did get a stop on that fake field goal. Frosty dialed up a fake punt with Luke Gifford, and 96 yards later, Nebraska is within a score. Coach, I want to get your take on what were you most proud of with this team in 2018?
I think the lights went on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like teaching. You know, I don't get it. I don't get it, Coach. I don't get it. Oh, yeah, now I get it, you know, all of a sudden. And that's the way things kind of work. And then they work with each other. If you're a team, you know, I think the coaching comes through the coaching staff. What is a team, really? You know, I mean, guys think they know what a team is, but they don't. And they don't know that they have a responsibility. I mean, they have responsibility to everybody. They have a responsibility to themselves, their player, their teammates. And most of all, I used to really push the responsibility that defense had to the offense. And, you know, that we got to get the ball and get out of here. You know, I'd rather watch the game from the sideline, wouldn't you? You know, and let them be bombing somebody, which they'll do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so those are things that, you know, I think they have to decide. They have to decide starting a winter program. They have to decide that, hey, listen, this is going to be it. One of the things that I think that, I mean, myself, that I know I stressed with my players. I think it's up to the individual coaches how they handle it. But nobody's ever won a game with their lips.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things, if you want to get a guy to play hard, just go ahead and shoot your mouth off at him because you haven't done anything anyway. And, you know, that just shows immaturity and stuff like that. You see teams right now that their kids don't even talk to you. Iowa kids, they, you know, maybe they got a little bit juiced up a couple of times, but if you watch our guys talking to them, they just walk away from them. And, you know, so that stuff I think is cheap.
Sure.
That doesn't show that you're a class operation. And, you know, and there's times when, you know, guys will get, you know, you got to have some pride. If a guy says something insulting, you know, you probably, you know, come back with something, but you don't need to carry it on to pushing and shoving and all that baloney. That's nothing, you know, because you're going to get a shot at somebody and they're going to get a shot at you. And that's the game.
Yeah.
That's part of what happens. You watch these big guys get put on their backs in pro games and everything. They get up like nothing happened. They get up like it's part of the deal, and that's the way it is.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, we will get in touch with you next Monday, and we'll probably talk a little Nebraska offseason and get into some college football playoffs talk. How's that sound?
I'll be older then.
Well, I was going to say, you got some candles, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll be glad to do it. If we find out I guess Sunday is the big day, right?
Well, tomorrow, we'll know for sure Sunday, absolutely. So we'll get in on there, and happy birthday to you, sir.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So anyway, I'll talk to you next week, and thanks for having me.
You're the best, Coach.
I have a good time.
All righty. Be good.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Pride of Chicago. There he is, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Get him some candles, man. You like Ohio State or Oklahoma? He'll tell me neither.
And now, back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Good stuff from Coach McBride. That'll be up on ESPN. Lincoln's Twitter handle And also, we'll get it out on Hail Varsity's Twitter. The full interview going to be available in demand on ESPN. Lincoln, we say hi to Jacob Padilla, HailVarsity.com, and magazine at Jacob Padilla _ Basketball Insider. Jacob, what's good? How are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. Thanks for having me again.
Hey, man, it's good to talk to you. And we love talking hoops, and you got a big game tonight. We're going to look ahead, all right? And you got a big five in a row here for Nebraska. Quality wins, right? They are coveted this time of year, any time of year. And Nebraska, is it Clemson? What is going to be different tonight for Nebraska opposed to their outing against Texas Tech? This is a second bite. This is a ranked team. This is a top-tier program in the ACC. How does Nebraska go into this one and perform better?
Well, the first thing they have to do is they have to knock down some shots. I mean, you look at Clemson. Their three-point defense has not been super great this year. You saw that against Creighton, where the Jays and Tyshawn Alexander in particular lit them up a little bit. So I'm not saying Nebraska's got to shoot 35 threes in the game, but they do have to knock down the shots that they get. Guys like Copeland and Roby in particular, when they've got really good looks, they got to knock those down. I think that's where you start, just being efficient offensively, because Clemson isn't nearly the defensive team that Texas Tech is, but it's not like they're a disaster on that end either. Like, Nebraska's going to have to earn everything it's going to get, but opportunities are there to score. And that was the biggest problem against Texas Tech. I mean, they scored 52 points. Mm-hmm. So Nebraska's going to have to go into this game tonight and be efficient offensively and take advantage of the opportunities that they create.
Is Palmer a guy that can maybe get some rhythm as a facilitator, and can they find him on some cuts with some screens? And I know his forte is off the bounce, but can he get a little Reggie Miller in him, you know, just move around, and can Nebraska get him the ball? Are there ways that can be had against this Clemson defense for Palmer?
Yeah, they got to figure out something to do with him, and he's got to not settle. And we saw that against Texas Tech again. We're 0-for-5 from three, or that was his last game. He went 0-for-5 from three, but in that game, I think he was like 2-for-8 or 2-for-9. So he's got to be better with his shot selection. He just can't be taking these many threes, and I think you hit on that.
Jacob?
If the opportunities are there and the defense is kind of looking to take away those driving lanes, then look to pull up and dish off. Look to get your other guys involved, because he's got that ability. I mean, he averaged 3 assists a game last year. He had a few big assist games during that great stretch he had. So that's definitely something that I think he could do a little bit more of, is not necessarily get tunnel vision when he's driving and look to make plays for others. At the same time, the other guy's got to hit the shot. So it's kind of they got to go hand in hand there. And that goes back to the first point I make. Because, again, like we talked about before the season, if Nebraska can hit shots, then that's going to open up everything else that they're so good at. But if they don't, then teams are just going to pack the paint on them.
Jacob Padilla is with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine, previewing Nebraska Clemson. Tips off at 6 at Jacob Padilla _. Jacob will have a recap and analysis, HailVarsity.com, after the Clemson Nebraska ball game tonight. Jacob, talk to me about Roby and what's his role tonight and moving forward. Is he going to break free, or are we going to keep going accordion here with, well, he's being too passive. Oh, he needs to be more aggressive. I mean, will he just kind of snap out of it and snap into it?
Yeah, they're going to need him to. You look at Clemson's lineup, and they've got a big-bodied dude inside. He's only about 6'8 or 6'9", but he's about 245, 250 pounds and rock solid. So I don't know. They've been posting him up to get him going. This last game, they had him inside kind of got it to him on the first couple games. So I don't necessarily know if you want to go to the post in this game, but get him on the roll, get him setting screens, rolling to the rim, get some lobs there, and then step out, and he has got to shoot with confidence. If we saw against Western Illinois early in the game where they kicked it out to him, and he put that pump fake up, and for whatever reason, Western Illinois' center did come out, and he respected the shot. Roby flew by him, went in for the dunk. So that's what he needs to do. He's got to get teams respecting it, and smarter defensive players, they're not going to respect it if he doesn't start taking it with confidence and knocking it down. So I think a big part of this game is him knocking down 1 to 2 threes, just get the defense respecting it, and then once they have to do that, then that opens up for his off-the-dribble stuff. And, again, get him on the move, rolling to the rim, getting some lobs, that kind of thing. So I don't necessarily know if he has to have, like, a 20-point game or something, but he has got to be involved.
What's the perfect script tonight here, Jacob? If you can type up what happens, how's Nebraska get out of Clemson with a win?
The first thing they got to do is they got to get some stops and then run. They've got to push the ball after they get stops, get off the rebounds, off turnovers. They're so good in the open floor, and that's something that Crean took advantage of them as well, is really pushing it up the floor and getting early offense. So if Nebraska can get the ball moving, get some early shots, good shots, not necessarily – Tim Miles even talked about that with some of those three-pointers. Like, he doesn't mind a lot of their transition looks where they're good looks, they're open. They're kind of in the half court where dude's holding the ball for a minute or two and then decides, all right, I'm just chucking this. So get out and run, get some early looks at the rim, get some early looks from the perimeter, knock those down, and then build up a lead. Because I don't think Marquise Reed is a really talented offensive player for Clemson, but I don't think they're a juggernaut offensively where if you get them down, they're going to be able to rip off a big run and pull ahead. That's what Creighton did, is they built up a lead early and then kind of held on to that through a couple of Clemson runs. So I think Nebraska's got to get out and run, knock down some shots, and build a lead early.
That's how it's going to happen. I mean, Coach Miles was talking this week that, you know, they're still kind of searching for an identity on offense. And, I mean, if you're a Nebraska basketball fan, you're ripping your hair out because you've had this group for 3 years, right? And this is a second consecutive year. Now the first time where there are expectations and really the foaming at the mouth to get to the tournament by the fan base. And their identity is transition offense. It isn't half-court offense. And they are known for being really talented defensively, and that's how they're going to get it done, man. You get the stop, the rebound, the athleticism out in space and attack the rim. I totally agree with you on that. Is this game in that part of the pool that is must win for Nebraska when we're talking NCAA tournament, or are you like, hit the brakes, be quiet, there's plenty of season left?
Yeah, I don't. If they lose it, it's not going to kill their chances or anything. They will have other opportunities to get the wins they need, whether in conference or coming up with some of these other non-conference games. That being said, if Nebraska wants to be the team that many think it can be, it's got to go win this game. It's a tough one. It's on the road, but coming back off that Texas Tech game where, Clemson was held more in higher regard than Texas Tech was coming into the season and early in the year. So this is one, I think, if Nebraska wants to prove that it's not the same old team that struggles to get it done when it really needs to, I think they need to go out and win this game, put together a solid performance, especially offensively.
Jacob Padilla's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Jacob Padilla, previewing Nebraska Clemson. Jacob, a couple more minutes and we'll let you go. When you look at Clemson, where do you project them in the ACC? I mean, Duke's phenomenal, Carolina's Carolina. Kind of fill in the rest of the ACC blanks for me. Where's Clemson fit into that puzzle?
Yeah, I haven't studied the league too much closely. Clemson, they brought quite a bit back from last year's team that made it to the Sweet 16. They were number, I haven't seen the poll today, but they were number 16 last week. This should be an upper half team in the ACC, which should be another strong league. Where they fit into that, I don't know yet. But I think this is a really quality opponent for Nebraska that come March, it's going to look good if they can get this win.
Last thought here on Nebraska. Is this team fighting itself when it comes to shot selection and next level? And I'm not just singling Palmer out, but with the amount of threes they're taking, you've got guys that want to go beyond. They want to go to the next level, and the critique has been make and take some three-point shots. Is that a part of the problem so far with this offense, that guys are trying to launch the three because they need to be better at it for scouts at the next level?
No, I don't think that has anything to do with it. With Palmer, it's not that he needs to take threes. It's that he has no problem doing that. It's that they need to
make
go
him.
In. He's just got to, yeah, he's just got, so what he's doing right now is not helping him at all. So I don't think it's necessarily that. I mean, we saw last year, like going, again, I wrote about this and then updated it up for the last one, but going back through his last 16 games, Palmer is 15 of 79 from three. That's just a terrible percentage on five attempts a game. So that's something that's been a problem for a while. He keeps trying to shoot himself back into a rhythm, and it's just not happening. He hasn't made more than two games in that stretch. That's kind of where I started. Is the last time he made three or more threes was against Iowa in January of last year. So I don't necessarily think it's, oh, I'm trying to show off for the scouts. It's, this is what he wants to do, and he's just not doing it very well. I think that's something that Miles has to figure out. Like, there's, at a certain point, it's not a guy trying to shoot himself back into a rhythm. It's a guy shooting you out of the game. So I think he definitely does need to get that in check. And then you saw with Glenn Watson, too, kind of in that game, he kind of let the game get to him and started forcing things later on. He had some good looks early, and they didn't necessarily fall. And he started forcing them. So that he's got to be one that can't really fall into that trap where, well, nothing's working, so I just got to go five, six, seven dribbles, step back jumper or whatever. So those two certainly have to lead the way. The rest of the guys kind of will play off of those two and follow along with that. So, yeah, it's going to come down to Palmer and Watson. Watson kind of just stay what he's been doing. He's played really well this year, trusting the system, and just let things come to him. And Palmer's just got to figure it out. He's got to get better balance on his shot selection.
Jacob, you're awesome. Thanks for the time tonight.
Yep, no problem, Chris.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes, that's awesome.
Big thanks to Jacob Padilla. We will have plenty to talk about tomorrow, the college football playoff. Selection is not far away. Sunday, after the conference championships, we'll have a lot of those for you on ESPN. And Lincoln, a reminder to you, never before has a sale gone on like this, and it's once in a lifetime with your friends at Sauter Heyman, the best, most prestigious jeweler in the area. It's giving you up to 60% off top quality jewelry. Never before savings like this from Sauter Heyman. Total inventory liquidation sale. Don't wait for best selection. SauterHeyman.com. South Point and Grand Island locations only. And while you're there, get signed up. Your chance to win a free $5,000 1-carat diamond pendant. That's money. Willie J's like, dude, I'm there. Going. Yeah. That's some bling, Willie J.
That is.
You can wear that, Willie. You can wear that that pendant on your Nike gear.
I know.
It'll look good. But don't wait. Don't hesitate. Get to Sauter Heyman. Never before anything like this. Once in a lifetime deals. It started on the 14th of November and continues forward with your friend Rick and the gang at Sauter Heyman. 60% off on top quality jewelry. The total inventory liquidation's going on now. So get to Sauter Heyman. It's not December yet, but it's okay to get that holiday shopping knocked out. Keep listening for your chance here to qualify with the holiday Hail Mary. Mitch Sherman tomorrow, ESPN Insider. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. We will snatch one of our Nebraska basketball experts' reaction to Clemson, Nebraska tonight. Here is what you have out from the college football playoff predictor. Right now, Notre Dame at 99%. The Irish are in. I was out at a sporting goods location yesterday with Junior. We braved the icy roadways after working out. And he was PO'd because he wasn't finding any Seattle Seahawk gear. I was not sad. But he's like, look at all this Notre Dame crap that's up. Like, that's what happens, monkey.
Yeah.
They're good every 5 years. And all Notre Dame fans come out of the woodwork, led by Coach Hansen. It's all right. 99% say Notre Dame is in. That's the college football playoff predictor. Clemson at 96%. Alabama at 82%. In at 4, Ohio State.
Ooh.
In at 5, Georgia. In at 6, Oklahoma. Here's what I wanted to ask you. If you had to pick, if you were on the committee, who are you leaning towards? Are you leaning towards Ohio State or are you leaning towards Oklahoma? And my question with this is both offenses can get rolling. And listen, there's been some too close of wins for both teams. Okay. Oklahoma had to outlast Texas Tech. Oklahoma had to find a way against Oklahoma State. Oklahoma had to go to overtime against Army. So three of their wins have been by less than one score. Okay? Right at one score. Their loss, to their credit, they came back from a bunch of points down at the state fair and got drilled on a game-winning field goal by Bevo. So what you have with Ohio State is the debacle on Saturday night against Purdue, and Purdue didn't do anything with that. I mean, they had to beat Indiana barely to get bowl eligible. Purdue looked like a surefire 8-4. Take it to the bank after they killed Ohio State. Wasn't the case. In fact, Minnesota. How about Minnesota and row the boat guy? And he drills Wisconsin and he drills Purdue to end the year after getting absolutely donkey punched by Illinois. And Papa Smurf.
That was insane. What was it?
It's just nuts. That kind of speaks to Nebraska coming back home here for a minute as to what the West is. The West is a sushi buffet bar. There's some things you're going to like. There's some things you're going to hate. There's some things you're going to try. And at the end of the night, you'll be full and you'll want more. That's okay. What the West is, because Northwestern's dirty. They're not dirty, but I'm saying they were garbage and head-scratching, and then they were iron tough, and they found a way to win the West. Wisconsin folded like a Mike Riley team this year. Fleck surges forward and really coached his guys up. They got to be really good, playing good football. Northwestern, I already mentioned. And then there's Purdue that just kind of survived. It's like they didn't know how to handle success. They're really not that good. They got hot for a night. And then we flip it over to the East, and Michigan's in therapy again. Twice a day therapy. Urban Meyer coached his backside off, got those kids to buy in, and got them to play great football. They had been pointed at, laughed at, and doubted all year. And they played like they didn't give a damn a lot of the year. But he got them ready and he got them unified to put up 60-plus on that defense. So back to the original question here. That was a freaking yellow brick road, my bad.
No.
So Ohio State or Oklahoma? And I'm going to say, give me Ohio State because of the win over Michigan, who we all think is pretty good, really good. And you're uncertain about what Ohio State you're going to get week in, week out. You know you're going to get great offense from Oklahoma and bad defense from Oklahoma.
Mm.
Don't nod to consistency is what I'm saying. Just because, you know they're going to win by a touchdown and it's going to be Madden.
Yeah, not to mention that whole fan base hates Bookie right now.
Well, what happened there?
He apparently is getting burned on every play. Apparently, he's just not doing well.
Well, he's Bookie. He'll be fine.
Yeah, right.
He is. He's good enough to play as a freshman.
Yeah, good enough to start. Yeah.
Yeah. So he got to. Guess what? He ain't the only guy that's been part of the problem. 45 a game allowing.
You're right.
So give me Ohio State. I know they've been kind of up and down, but when they put their mind to it, they're damn good. Oklahoma's put their mind to it all season, and they're great offensively. But defensively, I think Ohio State had put up another half a hundred on them. Ohio State would beat Oklahoma head-to-head, period.
Well, all right.
It wouldn't be by a lot. It wouldn't be 10 out of 10 times. I think push comes to shove. Give me Ohio State over Oklahoma. We'll have to get our old buddy Dean Blevins on this week and get his take on things. Let's get qualified right now with ESPN Lincoln, the holiday Hail Mary. Caller 8 right now qualifies with ESPN Lincoln.
Hey! Three-man rush.
Let's just line around.
All kinds of time.
It's the season to be merry. It's good.
Depths into the throw. In the wind.
Nipply out. I mean nippy out.
Down to the goal line.
We're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny McCann.
Caught!
Ho, ho, ho.
Touchdown!
Caller 8 466-3776 800-825-5865. The holiday Hail Mary qualify right now.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Martinez. Under pressure. He throws back at the end zone.
One down, a Monday with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. That is your electrifying play of the game. These have been fun all season long. And when you think of your friends that provide that electrifying play of the game, it's IBEW Local 265. And they are just tremendous with you, been giving you that electrifying play of the game all year long. You want a career, not just a job. You like working with your hands, but need an income while trading. Check out buildingnebraska.org. NECA, the National Electrical Contractors Association, and IBEW Local 265, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, accepting applications for a statewide apprentice program, great wages, great benefits, and a pension while training to be a professional electrician. Find out more at buildingnebraska.org, your electrifying play of the game. That was the two-pointer that made it all happen, that tied things up, and then Iowa got a 4th and 8. Here's my thing, man. That 4th and 8 just... It's got to frustrate you. And let me just set the scene for you, all right? Friday, we're in Jay Bird's basement. Not Jay Moore, but my buddy Jay Bird. And his family's all over. They're all Nebraska fans. They're from all different parts of the state. They're great, great people. And my buddy Iowa Russ is with me. We always watch the Nebraska-Iowa game. And he was there swimming in Jack Daniels after Nebraska went and won in overtime. Kenny Bell, game winner, good night. Bo's last game. And he took some abuse from the people we were watching with then. And he didn't take any abuse because he's won 4 straight. But he's not been an a-hole about it. Bless his heart. He totally could have been. And, God, that 4th and 8... where Antonio Reed's made so many plays this year. Great, great game against Michigan State. Antonio Reed's also the dude, if you read into what Scott Frost has said, that wasn't always doing things the way he needed to do them off the field and even on the field. Antonio Reed is a super big-time talent that'll get a look in the NFL because of his physical abilities. But he's also the dude that took till the second last game of his career to earn a black shirt. And he's matched up on the guy that's going to get the football if they're throwing the football on fourth and eight. And he wasn't ready. That's frustrating. That is absolutely frustrating. Learning experience, I get it. I don't know who you stick on the tight end. Second guess, armchair quarterback. Easy to do right now. But the way the guy had been playing, I mean, guard the sticks is my point, but don't let him get a home run ball. Home run ball. I get it. Easy to sit back and critique. But man, that's going to last. That's going to hurt. It's going to leave a mark, as Tommy Boy would say. Willie J, you are a monster in a good way. Crushing two shows, hitting class, firing up NyQuil, dropping ibuprofen. Thank you for sitting in, sir.
Of course. Thanks for having me, man. This is fun.
Good. Good, good, good. We'll have you back. The Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, no doubt is laying some heat right now on Monday Night Football. Stay away, Danny. Stay away. I say Clemson 68, Nebraska 57. Hate to do it. That's what my gut says. My gut needs to decrease in size. 4 o'clock tomorrow. Back with you on Hail Varsity. Thanks.